Rose.
What up, Dell?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen Jacoby, what is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, why are we in the big studio today?
D-Block.
Because we have big guests today.
D-Block.
We have
the locks.
Not one of the locks.
Not two of the locks.
All three of the locks are right here in studio joining
Styles,
us later.
Chic, Jada are in the building.
What a special day for you to join us on Jalen and Jacoby. We will have the locks later, but we start in Indiana, where the Pacers snapped the Lakers' road win streak. And you know who powered the Pacers, Jalen Rose? Sabonis. Sabonis had 26 points, 10 for 15 shooting. Of course, the Lakers are always the headline, but I feel like today the story is about the Pacers.
And the reason why it should be about the Pacers and Nate McMillan is we're going to talk about the Lakers being without Kyle Kuzma and Anthony Davis and losing. Let's celebrate the Pacers and Nate McMillan winning without Victor Oladipo.
Without Victor Oladipo, and like, they looked good. Brogdon looked really good, and Sabonis, he's just got great footwork, nice, no highlight buckets, had a nice dunk on somebody, but it was like a lot of just like little mini hook shots, like some of this old man buckets down there. He's great.
Well, because he continues to attack. He's really aggressive. He understands his strengths and weaknesses. Brogdon did a terrific job making a big shot late. They always play defense. Turner had some timely stops. Dwight Howard for the Lakers was playing really well.
10 for 10 from the field.
Yeah, he was balling, but they held LeBron James in check. 0 for 6 from the three line. Rajon Rondo took an ill-advised three late. You got to find a way to get into the play. I would have liked to see Troy Daniels actually in the game, but they didn't have a timeout late. So I want to give the Pacers credit for getting it done.
Pacers deserve a lot of credit. And I also want to celebrate Brogdon. We talked about him a couple times, but like especially towards the end of the first half, there's like three straight possessions where he stopped LeBron James one-on-one defense. You'll see one right here fighting over the pick. You know, goes through the hesitation. Makes a miss. Like, look at this. This is great defense from him. And then, like you said, he made a big shot at the end. He also made a big shot before the big shot. He had a floater. That's the floater right there. And then this is just a tough finish to win the game. Brogdon's good.
Now, Jacoby, you know I didn't play defense.
No, not at all.
But what do I always tell you never happened to me when I was an NBA player?
Dunk dunk.
Correct. Malcolm Brogdon has that footage as a member of the Bucks against LeBron James. So he understands going against the king, he got to stay focused. He understands the scouting report. And he's the adult in the room. You know what my nickname for him is?
The Senator.
Senator Brogdon.
Senator Brogdon.
Correct.
I don't know if it's going to stick, but I like it. I don't know if it's going to stick, but I like it. And let me just say something for the Lakers fans. This is actually an encouraging loss. You're not only without AD, you're without Kuzma. You got a great game from Dwight Howard, a great game from Bradley. Like, the bench, Caruso was doing things, hitting threes and finishing. Like, when you're missing two of your best three players, and LeBron ended up with 29-9, but he didn't have a good game.
No.
When you watch it, you're like, ooh, did not have a good game.
Two areas I want people to pay attention to if and when the Lakers struggle.
Okay.
Not making the three-point shot.
Mm-hmm.
And not making free throws.
The free throws were
Dwight close. Howard missed two. LeBron James missed too late.
Dwight's weren't even close. Dwight's weren't even close. It's one thing, like Rondo's three at the end, like, sure, bad shot, but it was close. It was online. But, like, those Dwight Howard free throws were not even close to close.
I'm going to tell you something you appreciate.
Okay.
Petty. And against the Hawks, LeBron James and Rondo joked about not passing each other the ball to the point where one time Rondo actually finished when LeBron should have thought he should have dropped him off a lob.
Tried to block his shot.
And he tried to block his shot.
I liked it.
So now you fast forward. Yesterday, LeBron wants the basketball late. Rajon Rondo has the basketball. Do you think he should have got it to the king?
Of course he should have got it to the king. And not only that, is LeBron started low, cut high, and then he got separation. And LeBron, I mean, Rondo had the ball, and Rondo was like, you know what? I'm just going to pull. I know I can give it to the best player in the world and let him cook, but I'm just going to pull today. Tried to block my shot last time we played. Well, the other team in Los Angeles, the Clippers, took care of business against the Suns. But I want to watch a little back and forth. Remember you said you never got dunked on? Well, both Paul George and Kelly Oubre cannot say that.
Kelly Oubre.
We got KG.
Were
in
they Oubre?
Look at Oubre on this one.
Oh!
So you wouldn't have helped. That's where PG messed up. He came over to help, but it didn't end there. Give me that ball. It takes it down. What do you see on this one?
Well, a couple of things. Kelly Oubre looks to be in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
He has his bounce. He has his attitude. And he got Paul because he was lefty and he went strong. However, as an initiator of offense, you can't have that turnover. You got to get in the operating area and make a quality pass. I'm pretty sure Monty Williams told him that. And then of all people, Paul George, one of the best defenders in the league, steals the ball. He's in front of you, just like you were in front of Ingram. Let him go dunk it.
Another thing you don't want to do, you're only throwing lob passes from your own backcourt. You know what I mean? You throw lob passes into the post. You're trying to throw it over Paul George. Like, if he doesn't get it, someone else is going
to
get it.
But it was great to see Ayton back in the lineup.
It really was good to see Ayton back in
the lineup. Yes, after his 25-game suspension.
And here's the thing about Ayton coming back. It's one thing when you come back from missing 25 games because of injury, but when you come back from being suspended, you don't miss a step. You know, what do you have here? 18 points and 12 rebounds. Like, this is not someone who's going to take some time to get their legs underneath them. He's been, his teammates were saying he was practicing hard and working out, and he sort of like felt bad. So he looked really good. What does he add to the Suns?
That was a great point by you, because a player like Zion, they're going to struggle to get him back into the lineup because he has an injury to his lower extremity.
Yeah.
For Ayton, you come right back in the lineup. You practice with
minutes.
The team every day.
You play your minutes. Yeah.
He's going to bring rebounding, shot blocking, and somebody that can score in the post. Like, we've seen Booker have big games. The Phoenix Suns got off to a really good start. Rubio's playing quality minutes for them.
Baines is all right.
Baines.
But he's not real.
When did you say the Phoenix Suns did this offseason that was brilliant?
They have a very, very good free agent acquisition strategy.
James Jones.
White guys that everyone else slept on. You know what I mean? That's what it is. It's like, oh, y'all gave up on Aaron Baines? I'll take him. Y'all gave up on Ricky Rubio? I'll take him. Y'all gave up on Dario Saric? I'll take him. No one's thinking about Frank Kaminsky. I'll get him on the cheap.
Look at their team now.
But they did start hot, and that philosophy was working, but now they're 11-16. Like, are they making a run, or is this a lottery team?
You know what? Those bottom spots in the West are open. Remember when it was a lock for 20 straight years that the San Antonio Spurs would make the playoffs? Mm-hmm. Remember the Golden State Warriors making it to the finals, winning 3 championships the last 5 years? They probably won't make it this year. So now it opens up some spots for teams like Sacramento, Minnesota, Phoenix. Can they now leapfrog and get in?
They got Ayton back, so they got like 5 or 6 weeks to see, like, where are we? What are we with Ayton? Are we an 8 seed? Are we a lottery seed? And let's adjust accordingly. Now, yesterday, remember LeBron James, I'm playing all 82 games. What if a kid buys a ticket? It's the only chance to ever see me play. I can't let that little child down. All the children in the world are going to make happy.
Like Mean Joe Green on the old school Pepsi commercial.
Well, Doc Rivers, he reacted. Let's check in with Glenn, Doc Rivers.
It's our philosophy. I don't know what theirs are. You know, I think theirs is whatever LeBron says it is, to be honest.
Makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense to me. But, no, I think I like what we're doing. I think it's the smart thing to do. And, you know, who knows? We'll see at the end.
First of all, whatever LeBron wants is the right philosophy if you're the Lakers. They're like, who do you want to coach? Oh, you want to chase a kid here? Oh, you don't want Carmelo? You do want Avery Bradley? Like, that's the right way to approach it if you're Lakers. Is he kind of taking a shot at LeBron and the Lakers?
I want to bring you behind the curtain on something.
Oh, please do.
You're going to appreciate this. Okay. You ready for this? What I got, what Jalen Rose gathered from that Doc Rivers sound.
What's that?
He don't like load management.
Really?
Yeah. Remember, Chicago tough. Played a long time in the league, a championship coach, okay? They already got fined for tampering with Kawhi Leonard. Now he's on their team. Earlier when Kawhi missed games, you remember Doc said the wrong thing at the podium about
it. That's right,
yep. And they got fined again. And I told you the league was going to make sure rest and load management were erased from the stat sheet.
So
let me finish.
I don't like to back up your points.
You never do.
I don't like to back up your points, but I got one for you.
Okay.
You know why he doesn't like load management? How many games Kawhi missed? 8. You know what their record is in those 8 games?
What?
4-4.
Correct.
And if you're the head coach, you're like, listen, I know this has worked for you in the past, but we're about 700 when you play, and we're about 500 when you don't. So you going to play today?
He said, I like it. He didn't say I love it.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was smart. He didn't say it was brilliant or genius. He said, we'll see. That's the key. In other words, if we win a championship, if we get a high seed, it's worth it. But let me tell you when it ain't worth it. If they play in the Lakers before the conference finals.
Well, they might be. But also, if you end up playing the Lakers in the playoffs and you're the Clippers, it doesn't matter whether you're high seed or not. Those are road games. They're all road games in the Staples Center.
But the distinction you just gave is teams now, when they see the other star players load managing, Anthony Davis, I saw him finish the previous game. He didn't play at Indiana. They lost. Joel Embiid didn't play. I saw Philly lose. The Clippers, you said they were 4-4.
Mm-hmm.
So teams around the league have now understood when they don't play their guys, let's go get this dub. And so for the Clippers, this may derail them from getting to the conference finals if they have to play the Lakers prior to, based on their regular season seeding.
Jalen, who's on the show with
this
us?
This is a real family affair. I love these brothers so very
too,
much.
Baby.
Legends in the game.
Love, brother, always.
Steve, here we go. Let's get live. The Ghost Styles P, the Silverback Gorilla, Sheik Lutz, Top 5, DOA,
yes,
Jada Kiss, they are in the building.
Yes,
what's
we
good,
are.
Y'all?
So one thing that Jalen and I love so much about y'all is y'all are a real group. You know what I mean? And we feel like in your generation, there's so many classic groups of, you know, MCs, but now it's been splintered a little bit. Like, why do you think that is in today's rap game?
They don't know each other. They was all put together.
Yeah.
Mm. I know their moms, and they know my mom, rest in peace. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Their kids and love each other that, like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think also, we came in as a team with a certain, like, we're going to stick together. We're going to make it together. And I think just the team mentality is probably what, you know, brotherhood, camaraderie is more important than
our values, man.
You know, all of the other stuff. Right. We'll still be a group when it's no music.
Yeah. We made that oath, though, that when we was little youngsters. Never let nothing come between us. Never let no cause or no effect be bigger than the group. And we've been carrying that out for 20-plus.
Solid.
That's love. That's real. And labels, a lot of times, you know, put the groups together, like you said.
Yeah, management and all that.
But then they also tear the groups apart. Hey, we sign you. Why don't we take you?
Yeah.
But in that era, you obviously were inspired by certain groups.
Yeah.
Who were some of the people that you guys were inspired by, Styles?
Public Enemy, Tribe Called Quest, N.W.A.
Absolutely.
EPMD.
EPMD,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah. Come on now. We'll
take Daddy Kane.
You know what I mean?
You said groups.
Mob DMC.
Yeah, Outkast. Yeah.
Mob D.
Yeah.
Definitely the Mob.
We naming all the gritty joints,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. M.O.P.
Yeah. M.O.P.
Mm. I mean, it feels like I just got into y'all yesterday, but it's been almost, 25 years now that y'all been together? Like, and the music business has changed, like, 7 different times since
then. Absolutely.
How has the music business evolved the most, Sheik?
Has it changed? Social media is the biggest change right now in the game.
Yeah.
I mean,
facts.
Painting a picture on it's like it's painting a picture on how you're supposed to behave and act and rap, and you know, it's no personal identity no more. That's why it's really, really changing me. Besides the business money side of it,
that's privacy.
Absolutely.
We came from the era where any good times or anything you know, Styles was just telling Jalen when we went to his house one time when we was younger. But all of them type of things is just memories. Now your privacy is to a minimum.
Jalen, you would have got kicked out of the league in like 3 years if that social media back when you played.
Yes, no doubt about it. But being legends of the game and also being students of the game, and I'll start with you, Kiss, who are some of the acts you guys are fans of today?
Today I like it all. I think you got to have an open mind in order to stay creative. But I think Drake is dope. I think J. Cole is dope. I think Griselda is dope. The Griselda guys, Westside, Benny, Conway. I think, I love my brother Fab for holding down New York with us. I like it all, though. I'm very open to hear it all. Plus, my son, he brings what's new to him. He's knocking it out of his room. So I try to absorb it all and just take it in and for what it is.
Dave East came on the show and he acknowledged Styles P as being his favorite rapper. So what do you guys feel when artists now come up to you and look at you guys and give you guys credit for all the things you accomplished in the game?
I feel like I'm an OG, man. I feel like when people talk about, like, I am Uncle Luch, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm an OG with this, man. Absolutely.
It's good. It's good when the youngsters come for the game or come for advice or just want to kick it, because that means they want to evolve and have a career. And one thing about this rap game, you want to have a career, because you can come and you can go. But if you can make a career out of it, then, you know, you did something worthy.
Facts. I think people respect us because we stick to the craft, the youth. Like Kiss said, we absorb it all in, so we don't treat the younger artists like we're better than them.
Word.
Like, you stick to the craft, whether you young or old, our peers, we respect you, and that's first. And then we also always proud to see the generation behind us make more money than our generation. Every generation should be more successful than the last one. So it's good to see that many.
You can't say
kids.
Nothing about the new generation, yeah. Man. My son is Sam Hayden. Yeah, but I like the Roddy Riches and all that.
Yeah, bumping. Yeah, Roddy's
word. Good. That's yeah. Fire. What's my man out of Atlanta?
Lil Baby.
Baby, yeah.
Both I like Da Baby.
Yeah. Da Baby.
I like Da Baby.
He can dance.
They both got bars.
Yeah, they got bars.
They song together. It's crazy.
It's so good to hear y'all hear this because the people of our age, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of like, oh, I don't like mumble rap. Or it's not like the golden era and all that stuff. Like, I listen to all the old stuff and the new stuff.
You know what, though? It was a lot of people don't say it, but it was a lot of trash in the old era. Everybody was
always going to be some garbage.
It was a lot of trash.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. There's some stuff I listened to where I was like, ooh, I can't believe I did that.
It was different trash, though.
It was organic trash.
It was organic at his trash.
It was organic trash.
Now it's 10 beats. Now it's same flaw.
Now it's synthetic trash.
You know, you guys are still coming out with great music, and you know, but do you ever like just sit back and look at the stars and be like, man, I got some banners. Like, we won some championships. Like, all of you guys have classic solo albums and the hits and what you guys have done together. Like, do you ever take a second to reflect on what you guys have accomplished up to this point while you're still in it?
Every day. Every day I wake up, you know, thank the Lord, thank the higher powers for, you know, for being alive, for one, and just, you know, the success that we already had. You know what I mean? It's still going to be able to buy your mother a house. Put your kids through college, buy yourself anything, go anywhere in the world, or, you know, just to be all right.
I really know when we step on stage and do like Benjamin's and all them songs and the crowd is still like losing their mind, I'd be like, yeah, that's one of them stripes, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's dope. And that just reminded me of like in the era of players teaming up in the NBA creating super teams, it reminded me of Posse Cuts. And you guys have been on some of the all-time classics with Big, with Jay, with X.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how is it when you know you're about to be on a Posse Cut, how much you got to bring it. Start with you, Styles.
I would say it's pretty much equivalent, I would say, to like a rap all-star game. Mm. You scrimmaging with, like, you know, for you, like, you, if you get somewhere, you know, it's a lot of ballers, everybody's nice, you just want to, especially with us three, because I already have them two to worry about all the time. Like, so
I like how you said worried about. That's dope.
Like, these are my brothers, but I'm never going on a song like I want Kiss or Luch to have a better verse.
Correct.
I always want the best verse, but if they get it, I'm happy and I'm content. But when it's all three of us and we somewhere, for me, I'm looking at it like food. That's food. We're going to treat these guys like food. We're going to eat them up. We're going to do what we got to do.
Absolutely.
We leave our mark. And I think you just go about it with respecting your peers and how nice they are, and then you kind of get a little cocky, edgy, and say, let me, you know, show my ass.
And we bring ourselves to the table. I hate when other artists get on people's song and don't do them. Like, if I get Busta on the record, I want Busta to be all the way Busta. Or M.O.P. to be all the way M.O.P. I don't want them to change it to Styles or Jada. Like, you know what I mean? Do you. And that's what we bring. We on, you know.
Yeah, you got to, it got to be a little bit of blood in the sport.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's cool to have colleagues and peers, and like they said, we already a three-man, one of the arguably best three-man groups ever.
No doubt.
So we already got it. It's already tough, you know, every day doing songs with them. So when we step in them type of realms where Big is there or Hov or Nas or one of them, it's just another gear you got to go into to, you know what I mean? Or anybody. It's not even them. Anytime you stepping outside the camp and working with other people, you always want to bring your sharpest swords.
Well, I know why you say arguably, but I'm going to say you guys are definitely one of the best groups ever.
That's my personal opinion,
but I'm going to say that
that's
out
loud
and for real. So,
thank you.
You know, of course, we're going to ask the question, are we going to get a Lox album?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
1,000%. Yeah. It's wrapped up. We just waiting on a few technical things. Album's done.
Album's done. Breaking news.
No more recording.
No more recording.
Breaking news.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you've got something like that in the can, like, don't you just want it out as soon as possible?
Me, I'm going crazy. I want it out like yesterday.
Yeah.
It's like having a winning lottery ticket, but you can't cash.
You got to make sure it's right. You know, it's a different climate in music. It's a different thing. You know, Roc Nation just want to make sure all the technical things, all of the marketing, all of that stuff is in line. So when we launch full-fledged. Well, we got a documentary, a new Locks doc that you're going to see a side of us that the world never seen. That's going to come out with the album, too. So we got some surprises for you.
It's time for us to give the people what they want. Just okay is not okay. Whether we're talking about your wireless network or your college football, so on Saturday morning when you're looking for a game to watch, we know you're all in on your team, but after that, don't settle for just an okay matchup. Do what I do. Find the best game that's going on with the best teams and the best players. Like choosing a wireless network. You want to go with America's best network, AT&T. Just like the best of the best in college football, you can never settle for just okay. Whether you're trying to coordinate who's painting their chest with what letter, or where the tailgate is going down, or where your tickets are, just okay is not okay, especially when it comes to your wireless network. So get AT&T, America's best network, and stay on top of your game all season long. Best network based on GWS OneScore, September 2019.
Jalen Rose, who's joining us in the studio today?
The Locks are in the building.
Yes.
Jada, Sheik, Styles in here to join us. We had a really good time talking about music, but this is ESPN, so we want to talk to you about sports. We're going to start with the trash Knicks. They fired their coach. They finally won a game last night. They're absolutely trash.
They won by 20.
I know. They beat the Hawks. Jay, I'll start with you. How do you feel about the Knickerbockers' season and future?
I really don't know, man. It starts upstairs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I didn't like that fire in the Fizz. I think they should have kept them because it ain't like they gave them much to work with. You know what I mean? And they put too much on them with too little bit of time, with not enough, damn near no pieces. Dolan, I think Dolan makes so much money, he don't really care about the Knicks.
Yeah.
And until it hits him and he starts really caring and spending money and doing the right thing, then we're going to still be in the same situation for a while, if you ask me.
Sheik, have you lost a little love for the Knickerbockers?
Nah, see, I'm a different kind of fan. I'm with anything New York.
Oh. That's like me. That's my guy.
Oh, he said the Knicks. I'm with him. I'm just giving you the truth of the Knicks.
I'm not loyal.
I don't care what's going on.
My shoulders hurt from having New York on my back. I'm just telling you about the Knicks.
They good.
Oh, and so when you say anything New York, does that also include the Nets?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Bruce just want anybody from New York to win.
That's why I'm about. So, Styles, you first. Will New York ever be a Nets town?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the youth nowadays. But it will always be a Knicks town.
Yeah, it's the Knicks first.
The Knicks need to change the colors. They got to get rid of Dolan and change the colors.
Change the colors. Yeah.
Change the colors. Those
are the colors from the flag.
Change the colors, bro.
What do you got, mine?
Navy blue, white, charcoal gray, steel gray.
Listen up, Knicks PR.
Keep the Knicks away from anything orange. It's just wrong, bro. So they got to change the colors. Get rid of Dolan. It's a lot we need to do as the Knicks.
You've been thinking about this a lot. I can tell.
Yeah, right. Get rid of Dolan. You got to change the colors, and you got to get. I don't know how they let Durant get to Brooklyn, man.
Yeah.
Whoever is the staff,
he got hurt. Sell it. It couldn't sell.
That's the problem. Like this should have been. That should have been an easy sell. Like the Nets is New Jersey, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they're here now, but they started from New Jersey. I love Jersey, the other part of New York, but sure, it's still no doubt. It's not like this is New York. We suck.
So I got something for you. I got a remedy for y'all. Y'all repped New York and Yonkers so hard.
Yeah.
Forget the Knicks. Just go all in on the Westchester Knicks. They got a team up there for y'all.
They said let me coach the Westchester.
Yeah, you go. Yeah. I bet they will. I'll write a strongly worded email. I'll get you coaching the Westchester Knicks.
The Westchester Knicks.
They putting out a product. This is good.
We have Fat Joe on the show, and I agree with this. You guys are performers. There's a certain mystique that comes with each stage. And I try to tell people in the media, Barclays Center stage will never match MSG.
No, because you know what? MSG, I ain't been to every arena, but all arenas, I feel like the Garden
We respect the dirty plays. We respect you jumping on the floor. We respect the plays that the average fan.
Mason in the
The average fan, you watching TV, you might want the dunk, the three, the this, like a New York Madison Square Garden.
Respects person, a good elbow.
Respect a good elbow, a good grit, a energy's good rebound, up. A good bounce pass, a good anything that's helpful. We like it. We respect it and we love it. And we'll boo the crap out of you for anything.
Knowledgeable fans.
This arena, though, it'll never be nothing better than that. Yeah, the Knicks, that's kind of the reason why it's hard for them to win. Because the games are sold out, whether they're 82-0 or 0-82 or 0-72 or whatever it is. There's big meetings going on in the stands, big Wall Street deals is going. So it's something. He's kind of spoiled with the clientele that goes on in the garden. You know what I mean? So I don't know what it's going to take.
If the Nets win the chip,
that mindset,
that's going to change.
If
the Nets win the chip, that'll change. They're going to have to figure something out.
Now, Sheik, I'm asking you, you guys performed at Barclays recently. I know you guys have performed at the Garden before.
So, man, I missed
the show. Is it different?
The other day.
Is it different performing at those two places?
Absolutely. No, but then again, Brooklyn got a lot of, it'd be love over there, man.
Of course.
A lot of energy. I would go with the Garden, though.
Yeah.
The Garden is extra energy.
Some special
history. It's just about just being in the Garden. Like, it's just, it's the Garden, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it's that place.
I feel like that as a fan. Even you know? You go to the other ones. Now, we're going to talk about LeBron James. Obviously, the Lakers are hot. They lost last night. But they got four losses on the season. I'll start with you. What do you think about what LeBron has done with this year's Lakers team?
Exactly what I thought he was going to do and exactly what the world knew he was going to do. You know, last year not making the playoffs, that put an extra chip on his shoulder. You know, he got with the front office, got his pieces in there, and now he's doing what he's supposed to do.
No doubt.
Biggest help.
I want that brother to angle. I know Mike's probably like, my man Tony Mike's like, yo, what is he talking about? I want him to win though, man. I want him to do good. Even though you just said you New York all day. I hate when people hate on him because he's doing so good.
I mean,
like, is he your championship favorite? Clippers. In the West, the Bucks. What do you think, Sheik?
L.A.
Which one?
Bron. That's what I'm talking about from the beginning, Bron.
I want to talk about load management.
Please, let's talk about that.
I don't like it one bit.
Me either.
I think, in all due respect, at least it should be a time limit after, before All-Star break, it should be no possibly reason you should have
no point. I haven't heard that one yet. I like that.
I mean, they got to bring me in. I need to.
Yeah, it's like y'all just had 3 months off. what are we managing now?
No, after that, I can see, or it should be a certain amount. It should be some type of regulation to load management. Nah, not even. If you there, you can
maybe
play.
I'm not with it neither. I want to, if you pay, you should see people play. But then you got to think a lot of them probably watch what Coach Pop, how many rings he got from load management.
Mm-hmm.
Right or wrong. Like he
did it before it was load management.
That's what I'm saying, but he did it. He invented
it. It's so easy for me. I got a shoulder thing. I got a knee thing.
He had a dynasty team where he could sit Timmy in one of them and still win.
Yeah,
still
show up. He had enough. That's true.
Yeah, dude,
I agree with you on that.
So Jalen was at the front row of the Terrence Crawford fight screaming the entire time.
Watch.
I know y'all watched it too. What do you think of Terrence Crawford?
I think he's the hands down the best boxer out right now.
Pound for pound,
easily, not pound for pound. I would have loved to see him and Spence fight. God bless Spence.
Mm-hmm.
Hope he recovers well, gets back to 100%. But I think Bud is, he's ambidextrous. He got dog in him. He don't mind mixing it up. And he showed his character. That wasn't a slip either, though.
No, it was not a slip. That was not a slip.
He got knocked down, but that made me love him even more because that showed.
Special.
I mean, it wasn't smart to fight like that, but it showed that he cared about the fans and that he got dog in him.
So, Jada, I follow you on social, so I know you're watching football games, giving your picks and everything. What do you think about Lamar Jackson and what he's done to the league?
Hands down, MVP. The way he made the shift in the transaction from last year, he won. He had that nice little string of winning the games, but wasn't enough to really make it through the playoffs. They figured him out. He came back this year, pocket passer, able to run when he wanted to run. The team wants to see him win. Ingram is behind him, his number one cheerleader, his halfback. I think love they that. Could possibly win the Super Bowl.
Sheik, what's going on with New York football?
I was
Jets
running,
and Giants.
Yeah. I was going to say I was running with the Jets, but I didn't follow. I've been running around so much, I haven't been following too much football. But I'm with the Jets.
Yeah. Jets might be a lottery.
I'm with the Jets, man.
They might get a lottery.
They just be filling me in with that.
I ain't gonna lie. Jets need to change the colors, too, huh?
Oh, I like that.
We got the old Eagles colors,
Jets,
right?
Jets, Mets, Knicks. Oh, somebody need to... It's 2020, man. Somebody got to do something, man.
I like that idea. I like that low management idea, too.
There's a big heavyweight fight coming up. I know you guys pay attention to the fight game like we do, and that's between Wilder and Fury. Mm. So Anthony Joshua is training with Fury because he wants Fury to win because he thinks that Wilder won't fight him. What do you think about Joshua training with Fury?
I think that's stupid.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that's not really smart. I think that's really stupid because even if now you have to fight him, you're training with the man. He knows. He sees your pluses. He sees your negatives. He probably could tell when you get tired, when you get excited.
Absolutely.
He could look at your eyes. He could read your body language. I think that's
why are they doing
I think
that,
Josh. I think, I don't know. That's just
he's kind of taking a shot at Wilder.
I think whoever's on his corner or his camp, I think
bad advice.
That's stupid. Yeah. That's horrible. And one, Tyson Fury is not a typical boxer. He moves very awkward. He doesn't do anything like really traditional, which makes him good. Mm. Joshua is kind of more traditional, so Fury will be able to get his game down and understand to where I don't think Joshua will be able to do the same with Fury. And if they fight, that would be a negative for Joshua, I believe.
It's actually probably helping Fury more than Joshua.
Oh,
because with his awkward way of boxing, like P said, he's learning some traditional stuff that mixed with that awkwardness, and is more of a plus. Because I don't think Joshua's going to be able to get any of Fury's movements and all of that. Is crazy.
Wilder ain't having it with none of them.
Yeah. No, he's like a beast, right? Crazy.
And then that's not good for Joshua because Fury and Wilder seen him lose to Ruiz, even though he won the next one. So that may make Wilder look at you like you're even weaker. That may put an animal on him to go, I'm gonna just knock this dude's head off.
There's a lot of like, animal in Wilder. Yeah. There's a lot of animal in Wilder.
But Joshua's a great fighter. He's a great boxer.
He is.
He can hit hard. He got the skills to pay the bills.
We have the locks with us now. ESPN Inside Jargon. The first segment's the A block. The second segment's the B block. Third segment's the C block. What's the fourth segment?
D-Block!
This is the D-Block of Jalen and Jacoby. Appreciate you guys coming in now. I saw something on Instagram. It's called Passenger Shaming. That's the account. And I really wanted to show this to y'all. And I want you to answer, each of you to answer, but starting with you, Styles. What do you do if you see someone doing this on a plane?
Oh, man.
Someone's doing that next to you on a plane.
Oh, next to me?
Next to you.
I'm a prey.
Yo, look at his dog.
Oh!
Nah, you gotta get up. You gotta stop, fam. You gotta get up.
Absolutely.
You gotta get up. You gotta move.
And that's to tap your dog.
Yeah, you gotta your that's disgusting. Dog. That's disrespectful. It's disgusting.
He's filming. That's gonna get dog.
He's lucky he didn't get assaulted from the plane. That's like. I don't know. You should be able to do
emergency
something
landing.
To that person.
Emergency landing. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You should be able to do something to that person.
Jada, what are you doing if someone does that next to you on a plane?
Oh, that's disgusting.
Kids more like gonna film him.
like my homie did, like and all that.
Me and Pete like a fin.
You gotta get up, dog.
I'm gonna film you.
You gotta get up.
I'm filming you. I don't want to touch him, so I ain't gonna.
I got you.
You could green tea spill on his foot.
Yeah, I got you.
Hot tea.
Yeah, I know stuff like that. I do. I got them kind of stuff. The coffee off the.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
the Jason Kidd.
Oh, that's hilarious. So you guys are legendary performers and artists, but I like to bring people behind the curtain and talk to you guys about, and I'll start with you first, Styles. What are some of your passions outside of music?
Reading. Can't say the other one in this state yet.
Medicinal.
Medicine. film. I love film. I like watching movies. I like reading, chiefing. Trails too. I like hiking trails, like where I live. Nature stuff, animals, bugs.
Juice bar?
Pharmacy for Life, Juice Bar.
Yeah.
What about you?
Life.
What about you?
They, exercising. I just started jogging a lot, man. I find like real peace in that, man. It's like crazy. Big as I am, I be getting out there and getting it.
Yeah.
I be with my son a lot with his AAU basketball and his school, St. Joe's and all that. Shout out to y'all. And, real estate, stuff like that. And just, you know, music. That's it.
What about you, Kiss?
That's right.
Lemonade. I like sneakers. I like collecting watches. Of course, my family, my kids. Shopping. Music.
Any of the fly stuff, you know where to go. He can tell you all that.
All right, it is time for a segment that we call Soft Move or Boss Move. Nick Cannon recently recorded not one, but two diss tracks about Marshall Mathers, Eminem. Want to get your thoughts. Do you think that's a soft move or a boss move? Start with you, Kiss.
And I love Nick Cannon. That's my bro, man. I think it... See, I don't really know all of the preliminaries. Is it any reason why
he did it? Mariah Carey references in the past.
Yeah, but was it any reason why he did it now? Or
on Joe's album, he kind of bubbled it up a little bit.
Oh, bubbled it up a little bit.
What do you two think?
Nick's my man. M is this crazy though. M is nice. Not M ain't nice for a white boy. M is nice.
Yeah.
Period. Like, and Nick just seemed like he just having fun. You sure he really wanted it, or?
I haven't heard it.
I ain't heard the lyrics yet. You heard it?
To nobody's part.
I have heard it.
What do you think?
I don't think he should have did that.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you leave Marshall alone.
Soft move.
I want to thank y'all for coming through. The Locks no Book News. Much they got love. A new album yeah. coming out soon.
And it's time for us to give the people what they want. If you're carrying revolving debt, that means you're not paying off your card every month and could be paying thousands in interest every year that you really don't have to. With LendingClub, you can consolidate all your debt and pay off your credit cards with one fixed monthly payment. They make it so easy, and they've been doing it forever, since 2007. LendingClub has been helping millions of people regain control of their finances with affordable, fixed-rate personal loans. No trips to the bank, no high-interest credit cards. All you do is just go to LendingClub.com, tell them a little bit about yourself and how much you want to borrow, pick the terms that are right for you, and if you're approved, your loan is automatically deposited into your bank account in as little as a few days. LendingClub is the number one peer-to-peer lending platform with over $35 billion in loans issued. Go to LendingClub.com/J&J. LendingClub.com/JANDJ. Check your rate in minutes and borrow up to $40,000. That's LendingClub.com/JANJ. LendingClub.com/JANJ. All loans made by WebBank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Well, it is Wednesday.
Yes, indeed.
Every Wednesday we celebrate the more intelligent, the more responsible, and the generally superior gender of our species.
Stronger, harder working.
The women with Women's Wednesday. And today we have history. History. In darts at the PDC World Championship, there was a match, and the Englishwoman Fallon Sherrick became the first female to ever win a match against a male with this double 18. 36 right there. That wasn't actually it. It was the next one, but she is the very first. And here's the Wednesday where we all celebrate women. What a historic occasion.
Yes, indeed.
Quick question for you.
Uh-huh.
Are darts cultural?
Regional.
What region?
South.
What region? Oh, no. Do you play darts?
I have.
Do you know how to score darts? If we play,
I don't know how to score darts.
You have no idea how to score
darts. I played darts when I was like at juke joints, the places that have pool tables. Yeah. I played a little bit, but it's not something that I'm
I think darts are not
really into.
Cultural. I think they're cultural.
But it's like a pool table, right? It's one of those things that sometimes people have but never use.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, no. And if you do have a dartboard at your house, you also got a bunch of holes in your wall around the dartboard. Moving on, we have an update. Something we've been waiting for a while. Zion Williamson update. Mm. Here's the latest. He is fully weight-bearing. That knee that he had surgery on. And we saw him shooting some shots. Here he is in some baseline threes. I don't know if that's going to be his game when he gets to the league, but shout to him. But we still have no timetable on his return. Now, remember, this injury is usually about 4 to 6 weeks. And we are right now in that 4 to 6 week window.
When do you think we will see Zion, and what would be your advice to him and the Pelicans?
I got some NBA advice. It's really important. How we're eliminating load management and rest from the vernacular? For Zion Williamson, we can't keep saying fully weight-bearing.
No, great point. Yeah.
Right, is that fair?
Term we can use?
Right, I haven't used that with nobody else in the 30 years I've been affiliated with the league. I haven't heard that term.
Fully weight bearing. That's a really good point. But the Pelicans have lost not 10, not 11, not 12, 13 games in a row. I mean, remember, there's a lot of people thought this was going to be a playoff team. They had a nice collection of players.
Lakers. A lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Not you. A lot of people like you.
Yeah.
Not easy, Jacoby. You adopted this team. They lost 12, 13 in a row.
Did I ever fix my lips and say they're going to make the playoffs?
You adopted him as your squad?
Did I ever do that?
How do you feel about Zion?
You want to know my honest answer? I have no idea if I said that or not.
I'm worried about this.
One thing I don't want to hear is Zion should sit out the year. I don't want to hear that. I really don't. It's just like, if he can play, let's say in mid-January, you're going to have him sit for what, 3 months of basketball? That's just not good for him.
Jacoby, we've talked about this on this program already. Unfortunately, I don't believe Zion Williamson will ever play 82 games. He's 19 years old. 19, not 29, not 39, and hasn't played an NBA debut yet. He's on a squad that's going to the lottery, that's on a consecutive losing streak. I hate to bust your bubble, and you hope to see him play in February, in March, in April.
Yeah, I do.
But if you're the franchise, you don't want him to get hurt. Here's the thing.
Look at Joel Embiid. He's never going to play 82 games, but he is going to be an all-star, and he could potentially carry a team to a championship.
I just lured you in. And what was they doing? It was called the process, and they was tanking.
Yeah.
And that's what the Pelicans might as well do.
They lost 13 games in a row.
That's what they might as well do.
Can turn around and get the playoffs?
That's my point. So why put them out there? If you're trying to tank.
Because I think it's good for basketball players to play basketball.
I do too.
Get used to the speed.
I do too.
Remember when Paul George was coming back from his injury?
I do too.
They had him play at the end of that year to get him ready for the next year. That's what I would do with Zion Williamson.
Paul George is built a lot different than Zion Williamson.
Well, the Warriors, they had a video. They did a full decade retrospective. You look back at the decade the Warriors had.
Sean Livingston.
They had a very interesting decade. Some high
Andre
highs.
Iguodala.
Some championships. Oh, there's one thing though. They did not have a shot of Kevin Durant.
Ooh.
In the decade retrospective, he played 30% of the decade. He brought them 2 championships, 3 finals trips, played his way back into the finals, and then hurt himself pretty severely. And he did not get a single frame.
I'm just glad my guy Jared Jack got some love.
Yeah.
I'm glad Monte Ellis got some love.
Yep.
This is straight shade. But it's a two-way street because while Kevin Durant has been doing a lot of talking about his time with the Warriors, the Warriors hadn't been doing much talking.
Mm.
But now they bought that action. And this is the perfect example of that. You don't just ignore a guy that won finals MVP back-to-back in 2 championships.
No.
That was done on purpose.
That was rude.
That's like doing a promotion for this show and leaving me off.
I'd like to do that, actually. That sounds great. We always say we give the people what they want, so we're not just going to give you the television show audio. We always give you podcast exclusive Too Hot for TV.
What's up, man? What's up? Styles T is here. Chic Luciano is here.
Yes, sir.
Jada Kiss is here.
Yes, sir.
David Jacoby is here.
That's right.
We just got to know. On TV, we got to be a little funny.
No doubt.
We don't have to be buttoned up on the podcast.
Say no more.
This is the Too Hot for TV content.
Say no more, brother.
And to open that up, I want to know how you guys really feel about load management. You're holding back, Kiz.
I think load management, for real, not even... See, they got a lot of problems with it because of the entertainment, the business side of it. People pay to see the players and whatnot. I respect that aspect of it too, but just for the nature of the game and the culture of NBA basketball, the season is just starting. There should be no reason you're just sitting out games.
I think everybody's so friendly. Everybody laughs with the other team. Everybody's picking up the the opposite team, it makes it easy for guys to not be so much emotionally invested, I believe.
And in their defense, I wouldn't have mind load management back in the Rodman in them days, because the fouls was real fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good point.
You know what
good
I mean? You're getting
that's
slammed.
What I'm saying. This is soft. They're kind of soft.
It's just crazy to me. You know what I mean? And they say it's for the playoffs. They say it's good for the end of the season. I guess, but just as a fan of the sport, I think it's kind of whack.
Because that's what being the best is about. Endurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ball in the regular season, then ball in the playoffs,
step it up,
and then win the chip.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's the dude that can do all of the all above, of not skipping steps.
Yeah.
So this is always important for me to ask entertainers and artists. Because people see you guys perform, but sometimes underestimate the sacrifices you make and the hard work, the sacrifices and discipline that go on with being who you are.
Absolutely.
So I'll start with you, Sheik.
Huh?
Just, can you walk the fans through what it's like, for example, the time and energy to record an album or to write a verse or like things that you have to sacrifice for your career?
Fortunately, writing the verses is like, kind of easy, especially with the energy these two guys give in the studio and everybody else that we keep around us. That's pretty dope. As far as like the process of putting it out in a label situation, that could get frustrating. Like you said, having this work and not having like the people hear it, that gets a little crazy. And then my life, as far as like taking care of our kids and hitting the road and like we be flying in sometimes from doing all kind of stuff and shooting right back out stuff that y'all don't see, and we still go on stage at these arenas, these Barclays and all that, and tear it down, man. You know, you gotta be built for it. So I said, that's what it is.
So what are some of great memories, and I'll start with you, Styles, of some of the dope posse tracks you guys been on?
I mean, for me, it starts with Big. You know what I mean? It starts with being able to do UFC with Big. That was our intro into the game. So for me, that was one of the most, even though it's not a posse cut and it's just us four, but for me, it was important for us to be able to do that. Like, so everything else pretty much came as competitive and just, I think, all three of us eager and hypeness to do what we do.
And around, man, for dumb
you know what I mean?
We was on Main Sauce back then.
I'll go back before that. It started from Get At Me Dog with all of us, the original one that had all of us. Yeah. Then niggas done started something. Mm. Then we started doing all of the other ones. Yeah, Reservoir Dogs and all of them other kind of cuts. So
let's give DMX his flowers while he's here.
The dog. Shout out to the dog, always. X, man.
Give us a great DMX story. Because people sleep. There's like a 10-12 year period where X was giving us raw number ones and albums and all that, man. Movies.
X changed the ball when you can drop to an album back to back. He made it, you gotta wait 6 months or something, a certain amount of months, and that's the X rule. He broke the barrier of, he dropped two albums so close together, they both sold 5 million and did something crazy. The RIAA made it 6 months apart before you can come back with another album.
To us and y'all, because the dog been that dude.
Yeah, he was a legend before we got him.
He was it.
Yeah.
Before y'all heard.
We already praised him before the world knew him. He was already like one of the top dogs or the top dog in Yonkers at the time.
So tell me what that's like. Just he's doing local clubs or like you got hear about him out the street.
X would come through and hop out of cab.
Yeah, see, back then it was like a lot of mailbox.
He could sell you a tape for about $30 to $50. And it was recorded over an old Luther tape.
The other side of Gladys Knight.
All the hustlers and all that would pay top dollars to get them tapes from
him. And not only that, like, Lucha hit the beat. And then when it was turned, somebody else had to bang on the mailbox or call, but we come from that before even getting into a studio.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I really no clubs. It was block like parties.
Block
a guy in and then somebody's on the turntable.
Yeah. Yonkers is a real rap town, like besides us three and X.
It's a lot of talent.
It was a lot of spitters, like, you know what I mean? I think it was that, discipline, determination, that kind of, and that edginess that got us to where we needed to be.
Schools that let you use their gym. Yeah. School 12 and all that, like, you know, and have parties in there type. That's the flow that we had. We didn't have like a lot of the Roxy's and all that kind of stuff back then.
We had to make it work.
Yeah, we had makeshift venues.
So you guys, as a group, as brothers, the great thing is you get the chance to push each other all of the time. Mm-hmm. In the booth, on songs. So I want to ask, starting with you, Styles, I'm going to give you a chance to think about it. One of your favorite Sheek and or Jada verses, songs, or whatever. And while you're thinking about it, we were just talking about X.
It's too much.
Right?
It's too much. Like, for me as an MC, like, I mind what they do a lot, and just to... It's like when you're watching somebody, and I put it in your terms, play a game. And then you see them bust ass one game. They might have just did all layups, 20 layups. Then the next day, you see them hit all threes. Then the next day, you see it differentiate. So, mm-hmm. it's just the way they, more so than any song, is their approaches to the songs that I like. And just to see how it's created. Like, I admire Luch because he comes in at 7 every night. So he has a set schedule. I don't know how he gets that much work done, where I have to wake up pretty much early, think about certain shit, and and do it. Like, he's like a machine. So I'm watching his machineness. And then Kiss is the vice versa. He don't have to be working all the time and come in and get right to it or get in the flow. So just the, more so than the rhymes, it's how they go about. It's the method to the madness that keeps you intrigued. It's like the, you know, watching somebody practice, watching the training they put in, watching the you know, the little idiosyncrasies that make them themselves. Is it's too hard to say, because when you hear a certain song, I seen them make the song and it was like, oh, like, oh shit, like, you guys, know what I'm saying, it comes out crazy. Forever,
like, bro, I could say from I'm Black to I Get High to, man, what's the one I love with you? I mean, you always, they got a million records, but like, what's the, yo, the only one I love with
oh, Jazz
the mix,
solid.
Man. Ridiculous. You know what I mean? So they got a whole bunch of records, man, that I admire. You know what I mean? Me, I just got ridiculous on the mic like this. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was like always watching these two guys, like, oh man. You know, I respect them like that though. Crazy.
Don't underestimate yourself.
No, of course.
I rock a waistlift do rag under my fitted. And I don't even want waves. Tells me halfway
facts.
New.
Facts. Facts. But that guy, and then I'm like, yo, go. That's dope.
What do you admire about your brothers, Kiss?
They both pretty much wrapped it up, but like they both said, a little bit of everything they both said, their work ethic. Luch comes from all the way up from Rockland County, drives in and treats it like a job. You know what I mean? Come in like Norm on chairs. Hey, say hi to everybody. Right in the back, light his incense, get the energy right, and start banging out. And P could just be sleep. He sleeps his verses.
You might have stepped over Styles on the way in. Yeah,
under the sleeping bag.
Yeah, go to sleep before we
look at him.
Dressed
room
before we look
at him. That's dumb.
Got Mary Blige, everybody walking over here.
But he always do that. He can put the beat on, go to sleep, and wake up with the verse.
Wow.
So that right there is like some real ghostly stuff that people might not know about.
The Phantom.
So, I mean, y'all teased this new album. I'm sure it's coming out soon. Who else besides y'all three is featured on it?
I ain't saying none of that, Jacoby.
Can't say none of that. But don't underestimate what Jacoby just said. There is a new Lox album.
Yes, it is.
Coming soon.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Really great. Soon.
Yeah.
Can't.
It's done.
It's done. So,
mixed. Mastered.
Camaraderie is important to me, family. It's important to all of us. And in an industry that can pull you guys apart, money, fame, record labels, starting with you, Kiss, can you just talk to young artists about what allowed you guys to stay strong and stay together and encourage them, you know, to overcome a lot of trials and tribulations that they're going to come across in the industry?
Yeah, I think the main important thing is to learn as much as you can learn about the business. Surround yourself with good people, be it in your immediate group, your entourage, management, whatever it is. All elements of your whole movement have to be tight and solid as it can be. Do a lot of praying. Perfect your craft as much as you can. Try to write a verse a day, or think about a verse a day, or just, you know, ain't gotta be in it to win it. That's a very true statement. And just work hard. You know
stay
what I mean?
Off social media, man. Or use it. Use it for the positive.
Advantage. Yeah, man. Use it to promote.
Do a little test yourself. Like, yo, eat your food, right? Just eat your food and have your dinner and talk to everybody without your phone. See if you can do it. You know what I mean? People, you look around in the restaurant, everybody on their phone. We supposed to be chilling, laughing, having a good time. Everybody on it, like, not even like this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Try that exercise. Try a little stuff like that, man, to build your strength. Word.
Correct.
Be you.
Yes.
Read. I'm gonna be the waggest version of you, but the illest one of me. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be a wack you. Chic, I'm gonna be crazy. Yeah.
Read, man. Read for yourself, read on the business, and just read. Spread, like a lot of young dudes in rap, they don't respect that they actually
can't read.
Using words.
A lot of them
like
can't
words
read.
Are your weapons. That's your job.
Yes.
And words are your weapons.
A lot of rappers can't read.
So it's cool to be, you know, self-educated as much as possible and just try to stay on top of things.
Well, we definitely appreciate you guys coming through.
No doubt. Facts,
open door invite.
No doubt.
You're going to see a lot more of us and hear a lot more of us people on this show.
Make sure you check out Juices for Life. Mm-hmm. Make sure you check out Pharmacy for Life. And Love is Love.
That's right.
Anything you want to promote, Sheet?
Nah, that's it.
Same my wife's dropping a book next week. Ethel Hike. Make sure you get it. Word. The Ethel Hike by Ajua Styles. Nice memoir book. Beautiful.
Follow all of these gentlemen on social media.
My new album coming out.
Beautiful Struggle. January. Did y'all hear this?
January 31st.
Coming from Moxburg, man.
I don't supposed to tell you this, guys, but it's coming out January 31st.
What?
Ignatius Project.
Fire. Oh, wow. The Rock is in the building. Appreciate the love.
No doubt.
We'll be back tomorrow. Why's that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done.